Beer Fridge Podcast. Hello and welcome to the weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. Real beer, real breweries, real opinions. Whenever you listen to this episode, make sure you subscribe and hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of all the latest episodes. You can show your support by giving us a 5-star rating and head to our Patreon page, patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. My name's Gav. I've got my usual drinking buddies, Cal, Scotty, and MD. Good evening.
Good eve.
Good eve.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Right then, we'll start off as we normally do. Go around the virtual table, see what we're drinking to kick things off. I will start off because I believe you guys are probably going to be on the same brewery, same beers-ish. I've been a long time since I've been into Asda. Asda selection of beverages has always been a bit naff, or was naff about a year ago.
They've certainly been behind the curve in terms of supermarkets, you know, with Tesco and Sainsbury's and stuff stepping up the game in the last couple of years. They've certainly been slow in the update.
100%. However, very, very pleasantly surprised to find some new beverageinos within their selection. I had my warm-up beer was a Salt Quilo. No, it wasn't. I've got that one to go. It was actually a salt beer, still salt, and it was their single hop citra series. They've had some single hop series in there before. I think a mosaic one was outstanding. The citra one I've got the now, or had the now, is 5%, and it's just it's good. It's a nice middle of the road beer, nothing too special. Supermarket beverage, and it does what it says on the tin.
Citra's a bit Citra's like a proper workhorse. Pop. You know, it's in everything, but I think it doesn't really sing out too much if it's left on its own. I think it kind of needs some company to really make it work properly.
It does. I agree. The one I'm drinking right now is from Tooth and Claw, a brewery that I discovered 3 years ago. I think it was, and it's their One Eye IPA, 7%. Brewed using our mate Nelson, Vic's Secret. So it's meant to be a juicy, big, massive aromas. Gooseberry, pineapple, passion fruit. Passion fruit, yes. Maybe a wee bit of pineapple. Body-wise, it's really light, to be fair. It's a wee bit of bitterness on the back end, to be honest, which is quite pleasant. It's nice enough. 7%. It does the job. It's nothing amazing. To be fair, my mate Nelson is kind of hard to find in there. I wouldn't mind a bit more punch from that, but that's just my opinion. But I would buy it again. I think they had an offer. It was 4 for 3. So you just picked 4. And I've picked 4 beers. So I can't really complain. It was like £8 for all 4 of them. So not going to grumble for 4 at 4.40. So yes, I'm enjoying it. It does the job. Gilroy. Vessel's empty.
I've just finished, so I'm just getting ready to nip down the stairs and grab the other ones out of the freezer. But I've just finished Williams Brothers Midnight Sun, so an old school number, a rich, dark, and spicy porter.
Big
it's 5.5%, 500ml bottle. Just classic, eh? Black as the Midnight Sun, apparently, and is created from a blend of malted barley, oats, roast barley, chocolate malt. Balanced with a generous helping of hops, nondescript hops, but hops nonetheless. Root ginger apparently elevates the ale to another level. And you do get a wee bit of spice off it.
Spicy!
But it's mainly kind of chocolatey burnt toast flavours. And yeah, really pleasant. Typical Williams Brothers, really high quality. And does what it says on the bottle.
The bottle, you can't ask.
The first one I've had in for a wee while. I had it in the fridge for a bit, so try to clear up room.
It's good to go back to those ones that you're just easy drinking. The way I say stalwarts, but just like, you know what you're going to get. You can just sit back.
It's not a million degrees anymore, so yeah, can enjoy something a wee bit darker.
Exactly, Mundo. Callum, what you got?
We'll let Mark explain why we're drinking the beers first, I think, because I'm drinking number one on our beer list. So, Mark, tell us about the...
That makes more sense.
Kindly got four beers delivered this evening, late doors, but and plenty of time to chill them in the freezer. So, tell us about the beers first.
So, obviously, it was a late addition because of cancellation tonight. However, I was lucky enough to be asked to kind of review a couple of beers from an old employer of mine in Flavourly. And they had this, their Arcade Beer Works sort of brand a couple of years back. And it sort of kind of fell by the wayside slightly due to COVID and everything else under the sun. And Callum and Rob and that there have been, it's been a kind of a long kind of process of kind of getting this brewery, beer works, whatever you want to kind of put it, kind of back into public eye. So the kind of the whole premise behind this is using their industry experience. As you can tell, I'm reading the Callum's Wackagen, so cheers, Cal. So they're using their industry experience and brewing contacts to create top quality beer that bridges the gap between traditional and contemporary brewing at a great price. So this is like a pale ale IPA series that they've put together. There's four beers that go along and have different categories that they kind of want to hit within the four beers. And obviously Cal has mentioned he's on Arcade Beer One, and I've opened the same beer just for tasting purposes, and I have the tasting notes in front, so I'm a little bit cheating tonight, but I'm going to give my own thoughts prior as to go along. But Cal, I'll let you explain what you're drinking in terms of
I mean, so obviously we kind of know the sort of backstory of you've just given us a sort of 101 on the birth of the beers and stuff, so we kind of know that it's kind of like craft beer on a budget, and it's designed to stop that gap between traditional and sort of, like you say, the more sort of upmarket contemporary beers.
Yeah.
So we're not straight off the bat, I'm not expecting fireworks.
No.
But I'm actually quite surprised. It's quite nice. It's quite nice. I'm enjoying it. It's got a lovely hazy colour. It's got a little bit of an aroma. It doesn't smack you about the chops, but again, it's I wouldn't really have expected that too much. It's got sort of citrusy, maybe a hint of tropical on the nose. It's got a lovely body. It's 4.5% pale ale, IPA. It's nice and bitter, which is good. You're getting a lovely sweetness, and finishing off of that kind of grapefruity sort of bitterness at the end. And yeah, it's fine. It really is. You know, and I'd be quite happy if I was to go into a pub and get poured a pint of this. I'd be quite happy to sit and drink a pint of this. You know, if I was to maybe see a 4-pack or a 6-pack sitting, I wouldn't be adverse to picking that up for a sort of lazy Saturday sort of quaffing. I mean, it's no setting the world on fire by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's definitely hitting the brief. It's categorised as H for hoppy. That's what it says on the can. It's category H for hoppy. And it is... It probably isn't as hop forward as maybe an IPA should be, but for 4.5% and for what it is, I think it's hitting the mark for me. It's quite pleasant.
From the what you said, dealt from Callum's kind of wackaging that he's gave you, it sounds like to me like it's getting people on the craft beer ladder. So you're no, like you said, Cal, you're no expecting fireworks, just something a wee bit different from your norm. And that what you're saying there, Cal, sounds like it's doing what it's supposed to do, is bridging that gap.
As I say, it's perfectly pleasant. It's a lovely, to drink. And you know, I'd quite happily, I'm enjoying it. I'm not pulling faces or anything like that. And you know, we didn't pull any punches. If it had been shite, I would have told you it was shite. but it's definitely no crap, and it's quite surprised actually.
What's the notes in the beer, Delk?
I'm going to give you mine first before I give you this, because I'm the same. Obviously, I've got a bit of experience with this. I wasn't, Callum, I suppose, didn't hate me, but I wasn't overly hopeful when the beers, when I got, like, I've tried some of the Arcade Works old stuff, and it was a bit kind of lackluster. See, for me, this is really pleasant to drink. I totally agree with everything that you've kind of mentioned, Cal, in terms of like the aroma. For me, it's got a, like, I don't know if it's my nose picking it up. No jokes. but it's got
literally.
No touching that one. Moving. But it was the gooseberry aspect of it for me. It had a sort of I'm not going to say Nelson, but it has like a kind of white wine,
quite grapey kind of thing.
Aroma to it, paired up with a slight bit of kind of tropical aspect of it. So the hops that make up this beer are Cashmere, Columbus, and Euconaut. It's a clean classic pale. So it's a American yeast and hop combination to give sort of a aromas of tropical fruits, grapefruit, and gooseberry, with a lingering bitter finish. As the tasting notes to kind of go with that, which
fucking, there's a full house there. Bingo for Cal,
I think hit it on the nose. But for me, it's really, really easy drinking. And I think, I know from the breweries and stuff that the flavor they've been working with of recently, in terms of like the most recent collaborations, let's put it that way, that there's some really good breweries, and there's a couple of smaller breweries that are under the radar that that I think brewed this, if I'm going to go with, I don't know whether I should mention that or not, but I will wait until I've had maybe a couple of cans and I'll blurt it out later. but it's a brewery that I hadn't really heard too much of, but at first sort of taste on this, I think it's really, really pleasant. So
yeah, it's good. I hope that whoever has brewed it and gets the credit and, you know, gets kudos.
Let's just,
you know, because I think,
just
you know, we know how difficult it is having spoken to many breweries and you haven't had your experience working in the industry for that short time. You know, we know how difficult it is to sort of brew to that budget, and you know how, quite frankly, how unrealistic some of the expectations are for you know, producing beer of any kind of quality. So you know, we know that the kind of low bar that they're having to hit with that, so they've punched out something half decent here. Like,
I know Callum's really proud of the beers in terms of like how they've came out. So, and I know, having drank plenty of pints with Callum, that he does know his beer really well. So it's Quantuck Brewing is the brewery that has done all the all this sort of rework. So to give them the shout. They obviously, Flavourly had kind of passed sort of the recipes and the kind of styles that they were looking for. Quantuck have then basically brought them into the 21st century, maybe, if that's the best thing. And they said they were totally unrecognisable in terms of how the beers were previously to how Quantuck have kind of brought them now, and it's a huge, huge step forward in terms of what
it says it on the can, dude, to be fair. Brewed and canned at Quantuck Brewery. So,
all right.
So yeah, that's me just spotted it. I was just looking there, but at the bottom it's got Arcade Beer Works' address and stuff on there, but it does say it's pretty big on the can, brewed and canned at Quantuck Brewery. So yeah, I'm glad that's on there. So
see, to be fair, like, obviously Flavour are going to have these contacts naturally for what they do. It makes perfect sense for them to say, look, we have the chance here with a brewery to make a beer for Flavourly, which is going to reduce the cost to them. That means they can get a beer out that's going to be cheaper. That doesn't necessarily mean that the beer is going to be of adverse quality. And obviously, from what you've said there, boys, it's obviously a decent beer. And just you said Quantuck, and I'm like, who are they? And I've quickly just jumped on Instagram and I realized who you meant, how you were saying it was. And they've been making beer for a long time and they make some decent stuff. I've had a couple of their beers before. They make decent beer. And that obviously reflects on what they're doing here with Arcade Beer Works. Gilroy, have you picked one of them up yourself?
I went for number two.
Numero dos,
which is C for crisp.
Oh.
Ready salted. It's a pale ale.
Right.
It's 4%.
Are you going in hard here, Gilroy?
No, I don't think so.
Semi.
I think all these beers are going to be, a lot of them anyway, if the explanation of number one and my immediate thoughts on number two are anything to go by, then they could be, I think, all much of a muchness doing what it is their intention was. I don't, three and four, I can't speak for yet, but right. I've not tried number one myself, but number two, apparently, I should be getting some orange and malt. Right. Didn't really get very much maltiness. There's definitely some sort of citrus there, but I couldn't distinguish it as orange. It does have a lovely kind of bitterness toward the end. If I was to compare it against other pale ales in the kind of craft class, I think it would be slightly unfair. But if you put it alongside like traditional meats craft, like a kind of generic, maybe 500ml bottle pale ale, like a Cairngorm something or other or something like that, that kind of stuff, it's definitely more hop forward than them. I would say it's pretty pleasant. I look like the first one, based on tasting notes. I would just say it's maybe missing a wee bit of oomph, but then 4% pale ales tend to be quite frequently missing a bit of oomph, which is why you don't drink them very often. It has to be a special one for it to kind of stick out. Likes your roll with it and things like that are the things that I would immediately go to if I was having a kind of 5%-ish pale ale. But it's light, it's crisp. I mean, it's got a lovely kind of lacing in your glass and stuff like that. The head retention is pretty good. It's quite hazy. It's probably a solid beer. It's a solid pale.
There's are you on the same, Callum? Have you opened it?
Number two, no. I've jumped to number four.
Anyway, I'll do a number two. I was just trying to pair up with, like, so we've had.
Then I do a number two, mate. I don't know how to see that.
Because you were that enamoured with the number one.
Jobbies.
Oh, yeah. God, the tone was lowered. But
you're always counting on me, mate.
Number one wasn't a golden ale.
yeah. Wasn't it called Golden Rain?
That's funny. Jobbies is funny. Golden Rain, I don't know.
Yeah. So the hops in this number two are Azaka, Cashmere, and Idaho 7.
Right, okay.
Queer.
No, I've not tasted it yet. I've not tasted it, so.
Where
I couldn't no, I mean, I couldn't tell you there was that. That's a pretty distinctive, not distinctive. It's a combination, and I didn't get a hell of a lot. No, it was pretty cold when it came out, but it's starting to warm up now. I'm maybe getting a wee tiny bit more kind of orange peel on the nose.
Right, I'm going to give you the taste notes because I kind of agree with you here. And compared to number one, this is a bit limp-wristed. And I know there's a half a percentage difference, but it's kind of missing a little bit. So this is it's the same sort of American yeast kind of hop combination, like I mentioned, the Zaka Cashmere Idaho 7. So this is to bring out flavors and aromas of stone fruit, pine, with a little bitter finish is the tasting notes to go with it.
It does have a bitter finish, I'll give it that. I just don't get much. I get a bit more on the nose now.
I feel like I might have to put up the visual content in this podcast just to watch you all fire your beaks and your glasses. It's great.
But we're giving it
doing it properly.
Correct.
Just to make sure that if you're listening to this, and Callum, if you're listening to this, that we're going balls deep in this. We're making sure we get this right.
No, the thing is, like I said to Callum, we're going to be really honest with it. And I think what they're trying to do, and I know they're doing it for the, like, they're doing things properly now is the best way to put it for me. And, you know, trying to bring modern craft beer in at a budget is a really difficult aspect of it, but it's been proven that it can be done. In terms of, we've spoke about this, and I think, like, Gil, you mentioned it, comparing it with supermarket beers and what's available in the supermarket is probably a really good comparison, because and there is levels to supermarket beers as well, if you think about it. You know, we've got 4 or 5 quid cans and Tesco's now, but most of them are going to sit in that 3 quid aspect of it. Now, these beers that we're drinking probably won't sit in, like, they're 330 mils, so they're probably going to sit under the 3 quid price mark. So I know the 440 mil cans sit in the £3 mark, the £2.99 on the Flavourly website. But
even the ones that I've got here, there's none of the supermarket beers I've bought from Asda are below 5%.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like single hop IPA, an IPA, I've got a hazy IPA at 6.5, and I've got a Westie. None of them are below 5. That's what just how I
look. See if you get this. Smell the can.
Oh, we're going for can smell now.
Oh, inside.
Nah, I know. Come on.
Do you not get more pine and orange off the can?
Slightly. There's a bit of dankness to it for me.
Aye. The dank.
And it is
like, there's a bit of sweaty sock. You know that, like, proper, like, danky aspect.
But it's all in the can. It's not in the liquid.
Yeah, that isn't, like, the can does give off more aroma than when it's in the glass. It is. I'm getting a little bit more kind of orangey, kind of bitter. I don't get much pine, but, like, let's be honest, kind of flavour profile that's going to be hard to hit on me, to be honest with you.
Side question: How fresh are these? Are these, like, fresh as?
They're August, right? Brewed August 22, best before May 23.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
28th of July, mind us.
July. August 22. So.
I mean, that's fresh.
Pretty fresh.
Pretty fresresh.
AF.
I've got to admit, this is the last number one. Like, if I'm doing scoring, and I'm doing scoring in comparison with, like, supermarket beers here, right? Like, I'm not talking about, like, Pantheon beers. I'm talking about, like, what you would pick up in a supermarket, and we've mentioned, like,
like
Roll With Me.
Come on, that's nah. Where I'm seeing this is, like your disco forklift truck and things like that, like 330ml can, you know, pale ales, that kind of beer. That's where I'm seeing these kind of sitting alongside. So that kind of 180 beer, 180 to £2 for a 330ml can. So what
these
kind
are,
of...
These are 190 a can.
Right.
To give you the... Right. On the Flavorfully website, you know, so right. You're probably right in that ballpark. Number one for me is better than a £1.90 can of beer. Like, I would pay if that was on the shelf at £2.50, just hanging, and I was thinking, you know, or I was getting a 4-pack as part of whatever the deal was, I'd be quite happy, because I think there's loads of flavor in it. The £1.90 for can two is a harder sell for me. I don't feel like it has the flavour that can one had, and I'm comparing them next to each other now, you know. Yeah. So the first can for me is just like elevated sort of slightly in that sense. Anyway, you've got can four. Let's see what we've got with can four, Cal.
So, I think we've definitely sort of drank these in the wrong order. Even though we're drinking them kind of in numerical order a wee bit. So I went for number four, and it's the New England Session IPA 4.5.
Yeah, this one scared me for nothing.
This is categorized as J for juicy. and it just
can we give that as an overall note?
I know, yeah, I know.
Juicy. But,
that's your beer snobbery sort of taking over, where it's pitched and stuff. That
just reminds me of fucking Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Juicy.
Aye. But the thing that sets New England's apart for me is the nose, and it's that sort of really sort of tropical brilliance that you get, that perfume that you get from New England, and it's missing completely.
It's the tropical, it's the stone fruity, kind of the sweet, it's the haze of
I'm
New not
England. I'm getting very, very little at all. Maybe the slightest of tropical, maybe just like a wee touch of pineapple or whatever.
It looks
great. It's got a great body. It's head. It's holding its head really well.
Yeah.
It feels great. It feels like a New England to drink. You're getting that slight sort of tart. That sort of tart juiciness that you get from New England. You do get. I would say that it is juicy.
Okay. So
it's lacking any kind of bitterness at the end.
I don't want better for New England, though.
You want that at the end, though, mate.
No, you maybe want a dryness or something from it,
That's what I mean. Right. And it's not getting any of that at the end for me.
Right, so... I'm just going to say, remember, this is a session, New England.
Uh-huh. I'm totally on board with that, right? And I think... For it being a session beer, it's got a great body. You really feel like you're drinking a decent drink. In terms of body, it's certainly a step up for number one, which is what I would expect for New England, because it should be packed, should be juicy, it should be thick and creamy, and it is. I think really the only place that it falls down is, as I say, that kind of dry bitter finish that I would expect for New England. And the aroma, and we know that for me anyway, aroma is half the battle in a New England.
I'm going to push back on you with this. Is me without even drinking the beers, right? I'm going to say, because it's a New England session IPA, with regards to the bitterness that you're saying that you want from it, I don't think you're ever going to get it.
Okay.
I think you'll find it difficult to find a session New England that's got the bitterness. I tend to find with a session New England is the body's weak. But again, this is me without drinking the beers.
Right. So I've got the kind of the tasting notes and stuff here. And it's quite interesting, like having. Like what Callum's saying and then comparing them, because so this is it's a session New England IPA, but what they're using Quantox House Pale Ale base, so right. The core pale ale sort of malt bill and everything, and then they're using New England style yeast, similar, and I'm just like whether this is the yeast or not, but kind of similar when we pitched like the Verdant New England
yeast, which is
the strains designed to produce tropical fruity esters, and then they're combining that with Amarillo, which I think goes really well with a New England IPA, Idle 7, which I would probably I don't think it kind of lends itself, but however, like. It's an amazing hop, so fair play. And another hop called Palisade.
Okay.
I've never heard of that one myself, but I'm going to have a wee look into it and dive in. So obviously, kind of tropical notes, stone fruit, and on the tasting notes here, it's saying a subtle grassiness, grassy note, which I wouldn't kind of go with from a New England kind of point of view. But everything you've said there, like with the tasting notes, so if you've got a pale ale base and you're brewing pale ale, rather than having, like, for me, like if you're brewing a New England IPA, you're probably going to have it stacked a little bit more with sort of the oats and mm-hmm. sort of that kind of creamy aspect to bring the body and everything up. And then you're going to, when you're hot profiling for a New England IPA, you are basically, there's nothing going in from a bitterness point of view, slight, and then you're ramping the juiciness up. So Amarillo, and for me, Amarillo is the only hop that's in there without having read Palisade, so Palisade. Palisade. If I'm saying that incorrectly, then somebody can catch me.
Yeah, I've just googled it, and it's kind of it's your generic citrus stone fruit. Can I?
Right. Okay.
Can I think? Yeah. So.
All right. Okay. So
dual purpose. It's a dual purpose
kind of
hop. So.
So it might. Okay. So it probably does fit in that remit a little bit, but. At 4.5%, everything you're saying in terms of where you're getting the flavour and then reading the tasting notes, I would kind of expect it then. Like, so is the beer doing what it's supposed to, or
I'm feeling kind of bad that I've maybe...
A bit hard. But that's the whole point, mate. That's what it's
only,
all.
The only thing that's disappointing, I haven't had two or three more drinks now. The only thing that's disappointing me now is the aroma, and I'm no backing down for that. You know, I can totally appreciate that bitterness and the whether you want it there or not is subjective and all that kind of stuff, or dryness or bitterness or however you want to fucking say it. The thing that's non-negotiable for me about a New England is the aroma.
Yeah,
and it should smell tropical. It should smell juicy. That, you know, that's a kind of stupid thing to say. But it should smell like that, and it doesn't for me. It doesn't. But yeah, I think to achieve that kind of body on a 4.5 session, New England, I think is a win for me, really, and it really does feel, it feels, and as I say, I'm enjoying drinking it. It's pleasant, you know. But we're all about what it says on the tin, and I think the aroma is just missing for me. But it's not a bad beer by any stretch of the imagination.
No, fair play. Like, I'm not, like, I say this to, like, Cal when I message, like, we're going to be really honest and break them down. And I think what I would suggest is going out and buying the beer. Like, because, like, we've tasted three of them so far. And I think, Gil, you've got the fourth one. Have you got number three opened, have you?
Yes.
Oh, dear. but, like, if you're, I suppose, It's tricky. If you listen to this podcast, then, you know, we've hit all kind of scopes of kind of craft beer, everything from the, like, top of the range to bottom of the range. And I think, you know, this is just another flavor, is another avenue for opening. And for me, this is a step in the right direction, what I've tasted so far, compared to what I've tasted in the past.
Aye, yeah,
you know,
and it's no bottom of the pile by any stretch of the imagination.
Not even close.
I think that's the thing to say. Like, it's we're trying to pick hairs here and pick holes in the beer. But at the same time, from what you guys are saying, this isn't the worst of the worst beers that we've tried.
No, not even close. And they're all 4.5%. You know, so there's only so much, excuse me, that you can do with that style of beer. We've had it, like, with every brewery that we've spoken to. This is why this part of the industry and the market, whatever you want to put it, has become, for me, like, probably the most competitive, is because people have done we've done the dippers, and you can get all the flavour into the 8%, but...
Aye.
Getting flavour and body and all that mouthfeel and coating the glass and keeping a head and having it look the same and all the rest of it, and 4% and 3%, and we mentioned Mash Gang before, and 0.5%. It's unbelievable.
It's hard. So, and I have to be honest, like I would not be disappointed if I paid £2.
Aye.
You know, £2.50 even for one of these stubbies and you know, in a shop. I wouldn't be disappointed. It wouldn't put me off going back to Quantuck or Arcade Beer Works. It wouldn't put me off going back.
No, see, for me though, it's the opposite. No. Like if
Quantuck can do this,
if they can do this on on budget, but on recipes that are being provided, not as in like this is what, like obviously this is what they want to brew. Like they'll put their spin on it, but it's cool. Gilroy, number three, you've had a big sigh. Tell us about it.
Oh no, did I? I missed that.
Aye.
Uh-oh.
Like, this is... So...
This is a tricky one, though.
In terms of the spiel, right?
Right.
Fruity Session beer, citrus paleo, is a classic fusion of finely balanced paleo that's delicate fruity aroma and biscuity flavours sparked to life with added citrus. Now, that's exactly the same as the other one, just different, just in a different order.
Yep.
This is, it's 4% again. Citrus, hoppy, and golden, just because we've mentioned all the other categories. This is category F for fruity.
Fruity. Fruity.
This, I can only imagine this is another one that's based on Quantock's traditional recipe for something with an added spin, because this is that's a cask paleo.
That's a cask pint. You do the word of it.
Head retention almost zero.
No.
Fizz 0.5. taste borderline unpleasant.
Ooh.
You get a bit more malt. It's got a lot of bitterness, or a good bit of bitterness at the end. The flavour that you get up front disappears almost immediately, and you're just left with the bitterness. I wouldn't say it's incredibly Moorish. For it being almost the same spiel, it's a totally different beer to the first one. Just completely different. And it's
a different base. You're right. It's a different base.
It's a trad base, isn't it?
Yeah. These two, the last two, three and four, when I read the kind of can, these were the two that kind of I was
scared. You?
Well, least hopeful for, just because of like kind of knowing, like citrus pale for me is just like it's just pish. Like exactly.
Feels a bit like a cop out for me, like too generic. You know, at least say like, you know, orange paleo or mango or grapefruit paleo or, you know.
Nah, but see, all that makes it worse for me. But like, I totally agree with you. But it's that they all come under the same big category. So this beer is based on a golden pale ale base, which, as soon as Gil kind of showed, it has got cask written all over it by the looks of it. Again, the hop combinations to give a citrus pale a brilliantly balanced experience of hop, malt, and addition of orange peel with the biscuity base, basically. Biscuity, orange, and citrus. So this is Admiral, First Gold, and UK Chinook. In terms of the hops, with orange peel added as a fruit base as well. If that doesn't scream cask beer, like, I don't know what.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mate, I'm selling cask beer like by a shit ton every week, you know, because it is the stalwart of pubs. It's the heartbeat of pubs. It really is. It's a conversation that I'm having on a weekly basis at the moment. It's a really tricky one if you are being like, if I'm thinking about this as entry level craft beer, I think it's a really good pitch, because what they're doing is they're taking people are the palate of a cask ale drinker and trying to oomph it enough to kind of fit into a 330ml like craft can, basically. And, you know, it is the step into craft beer. I've not tasted it yet, so it's a bit tricky on that sense. I'm still getting through number two, but
no point getting hammered too quick.
No, that might make the
it's Tuesday,
is it? Anyway, but it's really interesting. Have you got another can opened, Gav? Like, let's talk to you. Like, it looked quite a dark beer you poured. That's why I
love that. Mate, I've just had potentially the best Westie you can get in a supermarket.
Hey, stop it.
I'm not even fucking lying.
Stop it.
And this, I'm going to articulate a review that I believe that you did, because you're in control of the podcast Untapped.
Okay.
It was a 3.75 you gave it.
Okay.
Bitter IPA. The mango flavouring is a nice touch, which helps keep it smoother than the initial bitterness. The beer in question is the Revelator from Lane Brewing.
From who?
Lane.
Lane, all right.
That bad boy right there.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, unless somebody else has got control of the Untapped, fuck knows.
They're not guilty.
This, the one can feel is fucking tremendous. 10 out of 10 for the can feel. 5.9%. This is kind of an American style West Coast IPA, obviously West Coast. It's a kind of full bodied IPA in terms of it. You get a wee bit of fruitiness. You get a wee bit of peachness, maybe a wee bit of like kind of melon, but oh my god, the through the back end, the bitterness just comes through and goes fucking booyah. How's your mother? And you go, oh shit. That's honestly the color of it. Like you said, it's super dark. It's what you want. It's how you want your West.
That's how a West Coast should look. Yeah,
that's how a Westie should look. 1,000,000%.
April 2019.
That was a long time ago.
It's guaranteed to have changed since then, surely.
Oh, lovely
Revelator. I don't remember this, but like I don't like realistically, unless bitter and hoppy was the flavor profiles. I kind of see unless like, it was you, Gav. Like
fair no play. Doubt it was me. I've got more than one.
Fair play.
But genuinely, this I can't think of the. Like a supermarket Westie that I've had that's hit the mark in terms of West Coast bitterness, and this one is hitting it definitely, regardless of it even being fucking supermarket.
Is this Asda?
Asda.
I don't know if we'll get that Asda up here.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I doubt you'll get it up there. It's probably going to be I'll need to pick up some cans and send them to you.
I'll do a beer swap. I've got some arcade beer works I can send you.
And, yeah, it's funny that.
Yes.
What a prick. But no, genuinely really nice. The other beer I want to shout out is from Salt again. So it's Salt and Quilo. And so it's Salt, Quilo, and Polygon. Polygon aren't a brewery. It's actually an NFT website, place, thing. And the beer in question is called NFT. It's a hazy IPA, 6.5%. Juicy, hoppy, does exactly what it should do. What you also get with this beer, which is kind of cool if you're a wee nerdy nerd Leap. Like me. A wee 100%. You get an NFT with it. I've looked at NFTs before, never actually done it. But if you buy the can, you scan the B code. You do all the jibbery pokery that I ask you to do. You get a wee NFT. It's really cool.
Good play.
That's my bit. Bye.
Well, fair enough.
Like, what have you drank?
I'm on number three, the citrus pale, because obviously what I was trying to do is like make sure that at least two of us are drinking the beer, like so we taste it, but which basically means I've drank every beer so far. So, but
they're only 3.30s in their session,
yeah.
So it's hardly even a pint.
No, true. This is quite poor. Like, I'm just going to be honest. Like,
flat, isn't it?
It's got the malty aspect of it. There is a bit of biscuity in there. It's been wafted with some orange. I totally get that. And see, to be honest, like, if you describe this in a cask, when I was in looking for a cask pint, I would probably pick it up because it's light and it's going to hit the notes. I feel like it's...
Was there just like an orange sitting beside the keg, maybe?
I think it was sitting on top of the keg, guy, wasn't it?
Maybe the keg was painted orange.
Just as a...
Maybe they walked past every day and you went, orange!
It's disappointing in comparison. It's the only one that... It's the one out of the four that's distinctly no... anywhere near modern.
I don't know how to say it, but it's got like a...
I don't think I'm being unfair in saying it's borderline. It's nearly unpleasant.
Is it soapy? It's not even soapy. It's just
not right. Is this Quonduct again?
Yeah, I think they've done them all.
But it's definitely it's trying to craft a non-craft beer. It's a traditional ale.
It's
a traditional ale on cask in a pub.
The bit that's annoying me is that on the can it's got fruity, citrus.
Yeah. It's a modern description.
Hold on, it's got fruity, citrus, and there's another fruity aroma, biscuit, spark life into the addition of citrus. So there's two citruses on there, two fruity on there, and it's just like...
It's even categorised as F for fruity. I'm disappointed in.
I would like to try it on cask, put it that way.
Well, that's not going to happen, you know that.
No, but
The method or the end game was selling these four cans together, right? And this one's off the mark in terms of the flavour profile they were going for, and is also not in keeping with the rest of the beers for a style slash... Like, the other beers were at least heading in a direction. The other pale ale that I tried had the haze.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good bit of bitterness, was nearly there in terms of the other pale ales in its class at 4%. The IPA was pleasant. I've not tasted it yet, but based on what you guys had said, it's pretty pleasant tasting and probably the best out of the four, which I would expect is the highest percentage at the four, so you can go for that. This has got almost the exact same explanation as two.
The pales combine low in terms of
beer.
It's leaning on the golden ale part, mate. It really is.
100%
golden ale part.
But then it should be in a 500ml bottle.
If it was switched and actually said it was like a golden ale beer, you'd maybe be like, fair
enough. If it was said golden ale, like a modern golden ale, you know, just tried to amplify a golden ale, then I would sort of buy it. In that sense.
I still wouldn't either. I mean, mine's it's dead.
It's not yours. Is struggling.
I've given this a
Mark. Dealt yours is kind of a bit better.
Mine might not be in the right.
It's not no much better, mind you.
I am disappointed in this one, unfortunately. And sorry, Cal, if you're listening. But I feel
just
that
the other three are pretty good.
But is like three to four ain't fucking bad though.
No, definitely. And at the end of the day, I've been, maybe overcritical because they are. I'm coming back to this point again. They are taking entry level craft beer drinkers through a discovery, and we've all done it before. If it was Williams Bros, if it was Drygate, if it was Stewart, if it was whoever it was that started, you know. Our craft kind of path in terms of opening flavors up, and you know, this is an attempt at opening flavors up in a golden ale, and I just think it's, for me, I think it's just missed the mark slightly. But if that's your style of beer that you like, you know, and you like a kind of classic golden ale, kind of cask sort of beer, you know, then it might be perfect for you.
It might
be perfect for you. I just, like you say, what it said on the tin is...
It's missing the mark. For the audio listener, tell us about the wackaging. You mentioned numbers. What we're looking at in terms of wackaging, how we're looking label-wise.
So every can is a different colour, and it's got a what looks like a sort of arcade token, which says good for one play on it, and with a number, and as I say, different colours, and yeah, it's punchy, and it you know, if I seen that sitting on a shelf, I would certainly go and pick it up because it you know it's monochrome, you know, it's one colour, and yeah, it's.
I think they look cracking. I've got to admit, like, having seen the old sort of like the Haggis beer number and the rose petal number that they'd done before, which were like new wave. Yeah,
just arcade. To clarify, he did say Haggis, by the way. For him that's listening, he did say Haggis.
Can I just say that was a brilliant beer? Like, when you tried it as a Scottish bitter, like, it had the spicy pepper aspect that you'd want from like the Haggis, and it hit the brief perfectly. So yeah, I'm on that hill. I'm on the Haggis beer hill 100%. There might be some shares available for anybody else who wants to jump on board, but I was 100% in. But I think the concept's brilliant, and you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 cans, entry level into four different sort of styles, because let's be honest, they are four different styles. We've got a golden, well, a citrus pale, but we've got a golden ale, we have a traditional pale ale, we have an IPA, and then we've got the New England that sort of Cal has described as well. I don't know, Gil, if you've opened anything else or...
No, not yet.
Just like, no. No,
because I'm pretty convinced on that. Like, I'm pretty convinced on the other beers are pretty pleasant and pretty on the mark. I just think this one's the odd one out. For by it, none of them, like the IPA was, as I said, was probably the strongest out of the four.
Yeah,
I think maybe mine number two, slightly behind it. The pale probably there or thereabouts as well. But this one's a departure in terms of the level that was there. This one's a swing and a miss as far as trying to put it in that foursome. It just doesn't fit. The beer, the can does. The beer inside the can doesn't fit the other three. I think it's a wee bit away. And this beer could be good in a traditional setting if you were going to put it in that fashion or in cask, like we said. It just what else would, like, I'm trying to think of what else would go well within that kind of core range. There's some in
surely it has to be a Westy pale, then.
Or a Westy. If you're going to go with all IPAs, it's got to be a kind of West Coast one. A good decent hit of bitterness, or do something wild and put a porter together.
I was going to say, are you go dark? Aye, exactly.
Or a Kettle Sour. It depends on what you want to do. I would say
that.
What they want to do in Bridge the Gap, or an amber ale, or something like that. Some of the kind of ones like that kind of
dark ale,
kind of flat tire style.
Aye.
The thing is, though, citrus pale ales are quite common, trendy,
citrus pale ale.
What was that?
There's already a citrus pale ale. It's beer number two. It's just the hazy version. I think if you're going modern, I don't mind the hazy. Like, the hazy version's the way to go. Just do something, like, I don't know. It just isn't this beer. Whatever on the can isn't this. This is a golden traditional ale with something else added. It just doesn't fit the other three for me. it gets a bit disjointed compared with the rest. And I would like to see some in a mere modern style, like a West Coast Pale, or even a lager, something like that.
That would have been the perfect shout out. So if you're going to keep things light and keep things in that kind of pale side of things, I think that sounds like the perfect way to go.
4.5% beer you can get away with no problem. Should be 3.8
It might be 3.8 though, mate.
The Royal Oak, somewhere in Middle England.
Like you sent me the pictures.
The Shire.
Mark of the beers, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, got looking at the styles and stuff, looking at the percentages, and I don't know. Like the New England Session would have scared me. And I was like, don't know about that. The Citrus Pale would have definitely scared me. And then the one and two, the IP and the Pale, would have been like, okay, you can maybe get something out of that. But to be fair, from what you guys have said, fucking 3 or 4 ain't bad. No. Like for a brewery to hit 3 or 4 and maybe just miss the mark and one that just needs, it's maybe labeled wrong, or maybe they should have went. I agree with what you're saying, Gil. I think a lager would have been a perfect addition to that four pack.
Like a craft lager, you mean?
No, 100% like a craft lager.
Interesting. Right, so let's just, hang here. I know we didn't really go down the whole rating scale, but if you had to rate the four pack, I know we've not tried them all each, but we've tried enough and we've obviously heard, we obviously trust each other's opinions on other beers and all the rest of it. So, if you had to rate the four pack as a entry level craft beer, if you had, we spoke to, we know James listens to the podcast a lot, Cal, and I know his taste has kind of changed a lot, right?
I was thinking about him when I was drinking.
So,
in a drinking or a sexual way.
I always think about him in a sexual way. So, that's
good play.
So we need to name this podcast, Are You Listening, James?
Are You Listening, James? Okay.
I'll do that.
I kind of get that beard out of my head. But no, I think you're right, mate. That's the kind of level we're looking at, that kind of entry into craft beer. And I think a case of Arcade Beer Works, maybe an 8-pack or even a 12-pack, 3 each one, I think wouldn't it be too bad. I really don't, I certainly wouldn't want a 24-pack.
Fuck no.
Of these four beers. I don't know that I would want 6 each beer. I would certainly want that broken up. And I think that might be a little bit of a hard sell, having 24 of these beers. But I certainly think a 12-pack, 2 to 3 each beer.
True.
I think number 3 is clearly one that's been a bit of a miss, but certainly the rest are not misses.
I'll give you my rating out of 10, not having any of the beers and listen to you guys. For a entry level kind of craft beer to get you on the fucking market and maybe explore your fucking palate, all that jazz, it feels like it's like a 7. 6.5, maybe 7 out of 10 as well.
Yeah, but it is, mate. It's an introduction box. It's you sign up for your subscription, or you sign up, for Flavorly or whatever it is, and you get that beer, and it opens the door and maybe teaches you about styles that you're not familiar with. I think 12 of these would certainly not be wasted at all. If they're flogging them in 24s or whatever, then I think that's a harder sell, to be honest.
Right. Well, I'd like to say I would agree with you, Gav, in terms of the rating. Put it that way, I think it's a 7 out of 10 for what they do.
If number 3 is a better beer, it's easier than it's an 8. But that last beer, that number 3 beer, just dragged it down.
Well, for entry level beers though, it's up there, just because of what it does and all the rest of it. So, I would highly recommend. And I know we've kind of really got stuck into them.
Definitely.
And,
That's a joke.
We've tried. correct. And, you know, giving ourselves a chance to try each of them and like really kind of debate, because I think at the end of the day, that's, it's really, really important that, like, you know, we kind of open that up. But I would agree with Cal. Like, I know, like, so you can buy a case of this on the Flavourly website right now, which is a 24-pack for £46.
Which is
£1.92
a beer.
So,
well, I'm...
£1.90 a can.
Well, just I'm just after saying, you know, I'd be quite happy to pay £1.92 a can. Right. So yeah, no, that's, I'm gonna backtrack, you know. I think what I should say is I don't know if I would want 24 cans in one go of this. You know, if I'm spending 46 quid, sorry mate. Sorry, if I was spending £46 on a case of beer. I don't know that I would want six.
But remember, this is us, the same craft beer wanker, though.
That's very, very.
Whereas, even somebody that's new to craft beer.
No,
I don't know, mate. I don't know.
I'm not buying.
Who in the right tin's buying 24?
But mate, yo, like, generally, you need to rewind to the start of when you started drinking craft beer.
Mate, to the complete fucking start. I'm jumping on this because obviously I've seen the inside aspect, and not just Flavourly, but people buy, if they like beers or they like getting to try different stuff or they like a specific brand, they buy 24 packs, 48 packs, 96.
But nobody likes this. Yeah.
But you know this
what I mean?
Is...
What I mean is if it's tried and tested and it's a good style that you want to get into, It's for me, it's 100% a 4-pack and a TQ tumbler. That comes together. That's it. That's your introduction to craft beer.
But no online, though.
12 quid, 4 cans and a tumbler, British Home Stores.
See, like, so I'm going
to. It could be something along the kind of lines. I didn't get, like.
I know. I even agree.
At my beginning of craft beer, I was never buying 24 cans of anything.
No,
like, never mind 24 cans of four beers. I would want 4 to taste it, maybe 8, so I could try them with somebody. Maybe 12, and then you've got 3 of each. No 24. I'm so, like, no me. And even going back to the beginning, I would never have had 24. I would never have went to the supermarket and bought 24 beers of whatever. I went for 20 packs of Budweiser and Tennent's and Coors Light to 6.
For me, the whole point of craft beer
online's different, and I don't know.
I understand that, mate.
I don't know discovering online craft beer, which you might go for because you're getting a discount or you're getting.
I understand, but for me, the whole point of craft beer is trying as many different breweries, as many different styles as you can for your budget. So. Having a box that's got maybe, yeah, so if the box has got 4 different styles in it, you didn't want 6 each can. I just didn't see it. But that's fine. I mean, if that's what they've got, that's fine.
This is the whole point. And at the end of the day, that's the if that's the model that's going down, and hopefully it's feedback that is well received. If
we're not, fingers crossed,
24 pack, then you know, a 12, like, I know the glassware is wicked, you know, they've got all the wee Flavourly wee choke glasses that are always
nice,
quite handy for, and if you could make up a couple of arcade beer work glass, I think it would just
kind of help. I think 12, just to put my 50 pence in, I think a 12 pack is a good range, a good number. And the reason
what you're doing, if you're going to a night in with your mates and try them.
Ken, what else I think?
It's £46 is a big fucking investment.
Like
if you're new to craft beer and you're wanting to explore craft beer, £46 is a big fucking investment. Whereas £25, isn't it?
No, it's not too bad. Like,
do you know, if you're saying £25 free delivery, and you're getting your 12, you're getting 12 cans of this, maybe with a glass.
Right. Like
You're going to get repeat custom with that.
No, like I said, I think a sensible size is 12. That's how I started off, getting 12 packs and stuff, which grew me into the beer snob that I am at the moment. But no, like we said, we kind of, the one beer that doesn't really hit the mark is number 3. All the rest of them do what they say on the tin. So like we said, 3 out of 4 ain't that fucking bad. Ain't that bad. So if you're looking for an introduction to craft beer, maybe that's your dig. That is your dig. Mark's kind of fucked off. just to make sure that I was just trying to make sure I covered it before I switched over. But I'll switch to one thing I wanted to mention before we finished, and just come back to Mark when he comes back on our screen. We had a listener approval. So if you'd never listened to the other kind of side of the podcast, the approval that comes out every fortnight, we had a listener one.
Nice.
I would share it with you. So our listener had the Seven Brothers honeycomb.
So was it just a message that you got sent, or was it an audio?
No, no, it was just an Instagram message.
Send some audio messages, guys. Come on. We want to hear your voices. We want to hear what you think. Come on.
I know. Send us some messages. It would be good. So Seven Brothers, the honeycomb beer, which exactly. I think you've had it, Cal. I know I've had it.
Yep.
And it's how
As the special.
Before they found the good stuff. And the message we got sent was, it's two part. It's a two part message, which I've combined it. The whole one. So it started off as, "This is shit. Don't buy."
Nice.
And then, "Someone has dropped a Wethers original and a glass of dishwater."
Who's
sent
this?
I seen this review.
It's our mate David. Big David Nicol.
We need to get David back on, man. We need to get David back on for a chat. That's some quality content right there, David. That's what we're all about. Wethers original and dishwater. Good lad.
He sent it and I was like,
I think that's unfair to Wethers original.
It's unfair to Fairy Liquid, I don't know.
It is 100%.
And Wethers original already gets a terrible press.
I know.
For obvious reasons.
Again, old people and paedophiles, that's...
But David, I appreciate you sending us that. You sent it over the weekend. I was absolutely howling. It was absolutely brilliant. Incidentally, you went balls deep as well on some of the Mirakai swimming in series, which I want to get your thoughts on the Idaho 7. I know you had the Citra one. Was it Citra? No, Mosaic, excuse me.
My head Mosaic, hi.
Swimming in Mosaic, which I had at the weekend as well, and it was a bit meh. It's not as good as the Idaho 7. Not as good.
The Idaho 7 is honestly, it's a beer of the year candidate. I'm on that hill.
But again,
Mosaic, I've navigated away from Arcade Beerworks. And I've opened up a track.
I've got an old top track or just a track?
No, just a track. Mm. And it's called, I'm saying just a track. It's called Sunset Trains, 5.2% pale ale, and it's Mosaic and Cashmere. And
Cashmere, honestly, how good is Cashmere by the way?
It's just this combination is just, it's sublime. It really is. It's just tropical, citrus. It's juicy, it's soft, it's got ever. I mean, even the smell, it's just like pineapples and mangoes and passion fruit. It's just superb. It really, really is. Absolutely stunning.
Cashmere's a ridiculous hop, by the way.
Yep.
Absolutely fucking ridiculous.
It's one of these.
Well done, track. Pantheon, if ever there was one.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, I think they were on the list, weren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah. We spoke about it last week, I'm sure.
They're on. But I want you disappeared for a minute there, Dale, because you're obviously peeing or getting another beverage, you know. I just want to make sure that there was nothing else we wanted to cover from Arcade.
No, I just want to obviously thank Callum and that for sending them through.
Cheers, that's amazing sending the beer and you're definitely on the right track, like absolutely.
I would agree. I think from my point of view, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. I think three out of the four beers have been really, really well received, and at the end of the day, like knowing sort of circumstance and kind of what you're working with, I think Quantic have done an absolute stellar job of kind of rebranding.
Hearing you guys have obviously the Arcade Beer Works beer brewed by those guys, I want to get them on the podcast and just
hear from, should reach out.
No, 100%, and hear from those guys directly and get more insight into those ones, the Arcade Beer Works, but then find out more about those guys.
Yeah, I think I just think it's a win at the end of the day. If you've listened this far in the podcast and you listened to us for our kind of honest feedback, I think we've been really honest and with them. But what I would say is they're all probably worth a try. The threes are probably on slender hooks just from our palates, but depending on what you kind of like to drink, they are probably all worth. So quick shameless plug for the Flavourly guys, I suppose, here is if you go into flavourly.com /arcade-beerworks, it gives you all the kind of the wackaging, all the breakdown on the four cans. You can see the can art, the colourways, all that kind of stuff, and it allows you to obviously purchase at the same time, and while you're on there you can build perfect cases and all that kind of stuff. So again, shameless plug for Flavourly, but
that's quite all right with like a wee shameless plug. You also get those details in the description, so you can easily just scroll down whenever you listen to the podcast, just pop the wee, just hit the wee link and you can go and see all the Arcade Beer Works Beveraginos that the boys have tasted this evening. Excellent work, gentlemen. Excellent work. I've been getting steaming on some supermarket beers. Yeah. Loving life. And as always, on the Beer Fridge podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you subscribe, hit the ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of all the latest episodes. You can also show your support by getting us some 5-star rating or head to our Patreon page, patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. Vault City Joe, your hoodie is coming.
It's on its way.
It's sorted, mate. I apologise. It's a long wait, but you're getting it. Incidentally, he's actually getting a hoodie that we don't have yet.
Yeah, it's the brand new one, isn't it?
He's getting the brand fucking diddly diddly new one. I don't have it yet.
So, quite right.
Quite right, exactly. Quite right indeed. So we appreciate your support. Like I said, patreon.com/ Beer Fridge Podcast. My name's Gavin, that's Cal, that's Scotty, and that's MD. And until next time on the Beer Fridge Podcast, real beer, real breweries, real opinions. Cheerio, bye.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Beer Fridge.